pray. So we turn to this passage in Colossians chapter 3, and particularly the verses 5 through to 11. Verse 5, which begins, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth." Therefore, Paul says, and so you should ask immediately, why? What is the reason he has? He says, therefore, well, he has something that needs to be said. And it needs to be said because of what already applies, what he has already said. What he does go on to say, you need to keep in mind, think back to what he has already laid out. And this is a very important tool, if you like, for your own Bible reading, in Paul especially, how often he says, therefore, or for, and so on. It makes a vital difference in the way that you join up the thinking of God's apostle. Thus far, what Paul has already said, and why he does go on and say, therefore, to the believer, Paul has stressed that he has, or she has, a new life. If you were raised with Christ, in verse 3, you died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a new life, a new way of life. Yes, its fullness is still to come, but it's there in safekeeping in the hands of Christ Jesus. Christ, who is above, who is sitting at the right hand of God. It's there in God's hands right now, the new life. If you have such a life, it belongs to you, then how about the life that you're living now? The life that you are living since you got up this morning? The life that you will live, you expect to get up tomorrow morning? And so on. This life, the new life, is still to come in fullness. But even now, the 15th of March 2009, for those who believe, who trust in Christ Jesus, that life has begun. Does it look like it? Is perhaps the question. And there, what Paul is dealing with is that there needs to be a better awareness of the different kind of life that Jesus gives. We use this word kind. It's there in Genesis, where the different kinds of animals, and it's an interesting discussion with the evolutionists these days. But there are different kinds, and a different kind of life that Jesus gives, something that is new, something that is spiritual. And perhaps you should go back and read and dwell on the second half, particularly of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, concerning the new spiritual life as well. But what does that mean for the things in your life that can only be said to belong to life that is bound by this earth? The fleshly things that Paul speaks about here in this letter and elsewhere. As we realized earlier, and I didn't prime any of the children to say so, but they told us very plainly, you wouldn't expect to walk into a nice dining room or sitting room with those filthy rugby clothes on. Shouldn't there be a change about what you and I are doing with the new life that Christ has given us? I think Paul has one main thing to say in this morning's section from 5 through to 11. But to get there, we must also pay attention to the way that he gets there. And so there are two parts. First of all, the things to put off, the new man put on, and it's therefore, let me put it this way, go all the way. So these three headings, the things to put off, the new man put on, and therefore, go all the way. The things to put off, first of all, that Paul speaks of. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, verse 5. In verse 8, now you yourselves are to put off all these. Very clearly there are things to put off, in the sense of getting rid of them. Put them off as you might take off particular clothes. You are to put off these things. The instances I've given, verses 5 and 8, they're statements about what must be done. But there is also a statement about what has been done. In verse 9, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. I'll approach that in connection with the new man in just a moment. But there are these three places where this matter of putting off, or in the first place, put to death, which is a very forcible expression of much the same thing. There are three places that appears in these verses. But remember, he says, therefore. Why should you do this? Why should you put off these things? It's because you were raised with Christ, in verse 9, and because you died, in verse 3. You died as far as life according to the spirit of this world is concerned. And I put it like that because Paul is referring first to your members which are on the earth. It's talking about the things that only belong to this earth, but that are ruled and under the dominion of the spirit of this age, the spirit of the world that has no time for God. But he is saying, if all that is true of you, if you were raised with Christ, if you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, if Christ is your life, then take away all those other things that don't belong to that life. It is a process which has a beginning. You put off the old man. You did it. It has been done. It has a beginning. But there are still things to be done. It's not immediately complete as long as you are in this body. But the other point about the way that Paul puts this is, you're not to just sit about and wait for it to be done to you. You are to put off. You are to put to death. Deal with those things that are may be in your life that will bring God's wrath upon the sons of disobedience. They deserve God's wrath. They are those filthy things that have no place in God's presence. It would be a terrible confusion of things. If there are things there that do raise God's righteous anger, they're all laid out in front of us. They're there to be known. And if those things are there, and you still hold on to them, instead of putting them away, instead of putting them to death, instead of putting them off, if you do hold on to them, what a confusion there is there. If you say that you have new life, why not live that life? It doesn't mean that when you do sin at times that you don't have new life. That's not what Paul is saying. The believer does sin. We read some very similar things in Romans chapter 8. About what Paul is saying here as well, that sin should not have the rule over you. But in Romans chapter 7, you see a man, I believe, who is talking about, yes, I do sin, and I hate it. I don't want it. It grieves me. But yes, I fall into it from time to time. It's my members, he uses the same word here. It's the things that are prone to draw us into sin. And he says, get rid of them. Let that new life be the seed that does grow out and bring out a new fruit. And so he has a number of things here. We're not able to go into them in detail right at the minute. But look at the things just for a moment. Read them through. There's the fornication, the uncleanness, the passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. It's an interesting point, that. Anger, in the second place. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Of course, these are not the only things. There are times when Paul writes in other places to other people, and he will take these ones and he'll put other things in as well. Perhaps he's dealing with specific needs in that situation. but it's surely enough to get the message across even to us. We're not in that immediate context from so long ago. But it makes it clear of the kind of thing that needs to be dealt with. Some seem to refer to specific actions. Fornication clearly is it's usually a reference to action, to acts of sexual immorality. But it arises out of the condition of a man's heart or a woman's heart. It may have been a known problem in that particular context. It's certainly something that's come far too close to the Christian church today, in many parts. But beyond all that, look at them and realize how much they are concerned with the inner person. Many people will look at the commandments and say, well, I haven't killed anyone. But Jesus said, but you hate your brother, even by not caring for him. It's about the things that are within. These things within a man's heart, or a woman's heart, or a child's heart. It ought to remind us that if you find something that there's something wrong about the world, something wrong about relationships, wherever you go, perhaps you're the package that's taking many of those things with you. No doubt somebody else has many of these problems too. But are you right? Have you dealt with these things? It's a combustible combination, isn't it? That stuff that you carry about with you, and others carry it about with them. That's all the more reason. We need to realize it's inside us. It's inside you. It's desperately important that we hear God's word and say, put them to death. They're the things of the earth, things of the spirit of this age. And Paul says, put to death your members. He is talking about the pieces, parts of your body, the members of your body. But he's using that to refer to the things, the deeds that are committed by those members of your body. He does that, I think, in Romans 7, the way that it's in his heart. He wants to serve the Lord. That's his delight. But yet his members, his body, almost takes over in a sense. It's still wrapped up in there, the things of the body. It's not that they have an independent existence of their own. But that's what puts into action the stirrings of a man's heart. Jesus meant something very similar when he said, for example, if your hand offends you, cut it off. But it's not the hand in itself that is bad, is wrong, that brings you into sin. It's what it does. And so Paul is using a similar expression here. Get rid of the sins. Get rid of the wrong things that don't belong in the new life, the spiritual life. Perhaps that brings us, if you take the other one that Jesus used, he said, if your eye offends you, take it out. It's what your eye does that's the problem in that case. That explains covetousness, I think, or helps us towards understanding what he says here. Covetousness is to set your eye on a thing. What do we mean by that? Not just the eye, but it's that through the eye you take it into your heart and you've set your heart upon it. You set your heart on it beyond what God chooses to give in his wisdom. And that is to turn your eyes from God, and that your desire becomes whatever it is. Isn't that idolatry? Isn't that what he's saying? And so we need to take to heart the instruction of Paul, the Lord through Paul, that there are things that we need to take a good look at ourselves. Say, get rid of those. I've shown you a lad in filthy rugby clothes, but there are times that you might be walking along the street and you get home and you step inside and then you realize that you've actually had mud or something worse on your shoe. You haven't been playing rugby, you haven't got yourself drenched in mud, but you've still brought dirt into a clean place. It may be just a tiny spot, but it is highly effective in soiling what is clean. You have been given a new life. are the things in that you still hold on to that do not belong with that? He talks in verse 7 about you once walked and lived in these things. You walked in them. That was the way you went. Don't be like that any longer. He does say once that there is a change being brought about. But keep on at that work. Keep putting it off. Putting these things off. No, I don't mean postponing it. I mean get rid of them. Take them off. Put them to death. It cannot be that you should continue to walk and live in them. Is not Christ your life? As he puts it in verse 4. And this is on account of the new man put on. The new man that has been put on, this means. So there are things to put off, and that is because the new man has been put on. The new man put on in verse 10. It highlights Paul's description, in other words, of what he has already said in verse 3. In verse 3 he said, you died, and your life, there's something is gone. Now there is life, there is something new. You have put off the old man with his deeds in verse 9 and have put on the new man in verse 10. He is talking about a thing that is done. Earlier he's talking about what you must put off. That must be ongoing. Here he's talking about what has been done. And he gives it as the reason or the ground for making sure that the deeds and the spirit of the old man are gone, that they are done away with. It would be a bit like someone who works for Sainsbury's and then they get a job with Waitrose. And then one day they come to Waitrose to work and they're wearing their old Sainsbury's uniform. You wouldn't be surprised if the colleague turns around and says, but you work here now. That one doesn't belong here anymore. You're in a new place. You're in a new job. You're in a new life. Those old things don't belong here anymore. The job was changed, that was done. And it means that the stuff of the old job doesn't belong here. So put it off and keep it off. Put it to death. But it cannot raise up again and take a hold of you. But I think what Paul has to say here also, he continues, and it gives encouragement. It gives encouragement for the strength to resist and to put to death those members which are on the earth. It gives us a reminder of what a great change is coming about, yes, in the continuous sense. It is coming about in the new man. You've put it on, this new man, but there is something going on as well. And these things should be much more in our minds that we should put in effect to put it into effect, the necessary changes in our hearts, in all our thinking, in all our attitudes, in all our ways. That we should be getting rid of that, the ugliness and the dirt and the sinful spirit and the sinful attitudes that do rise up so quickly, don't they? It's to come under the renewing work of the Lord himself. We are told to put off. It is an instruction from God in his word. You put it off. You are to be involved in this. He also has gone as far as saying, you have put on, you have put on the new man. You have been involved in that. These are active expressions where you are personally involved, actively involved. But it becomes clear that we need the work of renewal done to us, for us. It's passive. It's where it is done by someone else. And that someone else isn't named. It must be God. The new man is renewed. We might well say, is being renewed. It's been done to you. We need that. It is a vital work. And it is one that we cannot accomplish on our own. And so there is encouragement. That yes, you're told to put this off, and you might be like Paul who says, I'm a wretched man. What am I supposed to do? This seems to be an endless struggle. I hope you're saying that, because it should be a struggle. Because it is in opposition to the new life that you profess. But there are times when you wonder, just where is it going? Well, this is an encouragement to say, God is at work here. God is continuing a work. He is renewing knowledge. That's not just the knowledge from the books at school or in your profession or whatever it is. This is something much, much more vital, much deeper, much fuller. When man was made in the image of God, he was made, as the Catechism tells us, in knowledge, righteousness and holiness. In knowledge. There was a way of knowing things. There was a knowledge of God himself. And that was defiled. That was broken down. Yes, he learnt to know evil as well. I don't think men have ever known evil as it truly is. That's why we still struggle as we do. But the knowledge that is referred to here, I believe, is an element of the image of God that we bear. And it is being renewed, made new, restored, brought back. Process to bring us to the place where we will be like Christ, to be with him where he is. Renewing knowledge, and it is done for us by God's work in us if we have put off the old man and put on the new. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And this newness is also demonstrated in the last verse that we've included here, and demonstrated in a changed understanding of men, in verse 11. It reminds us, I think, of the things that Paul was concerned about then for this church, that too often there was a thinking, there were those trying to persuade them to look just on the outside, the differences between men. Circumcision was an issue earlier in chapter 2. He's saying those things are not what counts. What does matter is, do you have the new man in you? Is that who you are? Are you in Christ? That's all that matters. He's saying that it's not the outward things that count when it comes to us standing before God. Only the new man. Take that young lad in the rugby mud. His mother loves him, even so. She knows what he could be when he's all cleaned up. And that's where I come to at the end, and what Paul is dealing with in this passage, I believe, and I've called it Go All the Way. It's to summarize all of this, really. You've started, so you finish. Master your mind by the new spirit that is given to you. Go all the way. You've begun. Don't stop. Don't be stopping along the way either, or you'll never get there. Hendrickson puts it, continue to do in practice what you've already done in principle. You have put on the new man. Be about it. Be busy with it. Go all the way. You've died to the things that are just of the flesh of this world. So put to death every part of those things that still arise in your heart, that still come out in your life. Some had been teaching that outward things could help in dealing with the indulgence of the flesh back in chapter 2. Paul, he is here urging the believer to deal with the real problems that are not just on the outside. They're there inside. The root of the problem is within, just as the new work has begun within. So don't expect to be able to deal with it by just outward rituals and outward practices. And it's the same for the Greek and the Jew and the circumcised, the uncircumcised, the barbarian, the Scythian, slave or free. It's the same for all men. Do you have the new man? And if you have put it on, go all the way. Don't expect to do it in your own strength either. Let me remind you of that. I don't think Paul has that in mind at all. But you must do it. You must be involved. You must undertake it. You must be committed to it. It is all based upon that accomplished work of Christ. If you are raised with him, he was raised by faith in him, you are raised with him. That's his accomplished work. That's the foundation by which these things become possible. Paul cannot say, finish something that has not begun. It has begun because of what Jesus has done. Do be sure that as you come to these things, you have a very clear understanding of the foundation of all of these things. It's about what has been done for you so that you will be with Christ. It's only with him that you can put these things off. But if you are with him, do put them off. Remember that it is in him that you can be reinvigorated, that you can be renewed in your knowledge. Your understanding is different, and you see them for what they are, so that you will put them to death. Yes, kill those things. It's as Paul writes elsewhere, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, he will be at work, but you must be at work too. How might you put off the old man? By always looking to Jesus, who is the author, yes, the beginner, but also the finisher of our faith. Jesus himself in person said to those around him, come to me, take my yoke upon you. And I do believe he meant a yoke as the cattle would pull a wagon or take the plow through the field, where they were bound together by this yoke, doing a joint work. Often Paul talks about fellow workers with God. Yes, in the gospel. But that's because of the way of life. He is the finisher of our faith also. These things are all wrapped up in here, as God works in the new man to renew us. But we too must work with that new man. Put off the all that belongs to the old. One of the old Scottish preachers talked of the expulsive power of a new affection. Do you understand that? A new affection, don't you love the Lord for all that he's done for you and in you? Well, with that love, let that love dominate your heart and your mind so that all other things will be put off, will be expelled. Shoved aside, that you will walk on with the Lord. There are times that I've been told, and perhaps other dads have been told, get rid of that old thing, that old jumper or whatever it is. And I haven't, because I don't have something else to take its place. At least not for that kind of job. But if you have something else to take its place that's better, better suited, why hold on to the old? Isn't that what Paul is saying? You have the new man, and it is being renewed. Don't put obstacles in the way of that renewal. Don't be holding on to those other things. Go so far as to put them to death. Some might say, as they hear me, isn't this about what we do? Well, I hope I've said enough to show that it's not so. It is based entirely upon the finished work of Christ. But it comes from that. It moves on from that. It's firmly founded on that. And this is the right building to place on it. That we should love him with all our heart, soul, and strength, and so on. That we should love him and do everything that follows from that. And those things are not showing love for him. Those things do not belong in his presence. He gives life. Someone gives you a sweater for your birthday. You are the one who has to wear it. When God gives you faith in Christ and repentance, You have to do the believing. You have to do the trusting. You have to do the depending. When he gives you new life, you have to live it. That's what Paul has in mind here. It is all about what he has done that we could not do ourselves. But it is what comes from that. It is that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of him and bear forth the fruit that comes from it. That's what Paul has in mind here. It is a new life, not on our own, always with Christ. He is in this walk with you. And that's all the more reason to be getting rid of those old, dirty things. And so he is saying here, now you yourselves are to put off all these. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. And it is just so far that we go this morning, seeking God's blessing upon his word in each of our hearts today. Let us pray together.